The Testament lesson today is from Deuteronomy, chapter 24, verses 10 through 13, and then 17 to 18, which you can find on page 179 in your pew Bibles. Listen to the word of the Lord. When you make your neighbor a loan of any kind, you shall not go to the house to take the pledge. You shall wait outside while the person to whom you are making the loan brings the pledge out to you. If the person is poor, you shall not sleep in the garment given to you as a pledge. You shall give the pledge back by sunset so that your neighbor may sleep in the cloak and bless you. And it will be to your credit before the Lord your God. You shall not deprive a resident alien or an orphan of justice. You shall not take a widow's garment in pledge. Remember that you were a slave in Egypt, and the Lord your God redeemed you from there. Therefore, I command you to do this. The word of the Lord.
I'm actually going to invite any of the children who would like to come and sit up front, because I'd really like them to sort of see what's going on here. So any of the children who'd like to come and sit down here, I invite them to do so. For those of you who are visiting or are new or haven't been for much of the summer, we have been doing a sermon series on Matthew 25. And Matthew 25 is where Jesus talks about doing things for the least of these. Giving food to those who are hungry, water to those who are thirsty, welcoming the stranger, visiting the sick. And today we have one that I have to admit I've never understood. I've been preaching and teaching for more than 35 years, and to be perfectly honest, this one out of Matthew 25, I just sort of ran right past. And that is, I was naked and you clothed me. And my thought was, why would anyone be naked? But to understand this, right? I mean, this is one of those sort of strange things that I don't think many of us think a lot about. But to understand this, we have to talk about two things. The first is we have to talk about clothes, and then we have to talk about money. Any of you like talking about clothes and money? Yeah, okay. So, all right. Now, actually, let me begin with this. How many of you have more than one pair of pants in your closet? More than one shirt? Okay. Then you're doing better than the people in what we would call biblical times, whether it's the time of Deuteronomy that Kevin read that passage, or the time of Jesus. Because clothing was all hand-woven, incredibly expensive, incredibly valuable, because it was so hard to come by. So most people only had two pieces of clothing, and here you have them. So what you had was an outer cloak. One of you guys want to come in? Evan, you want to come try this on? No? Okay. All right, come on up. Come on up. All right. Okay. So now, this piece of clothing was generally pretty heavy. It was your raincoat. It was to keep the wind from blowing on you. It was your blanket at night. It was your heavy coat when it was cold. This piece of clothing was the most important piece of clothing that anyone had, and it's what's referred to as the cloak when Kevin was reading that passage, okay? So, just hold on for a second. I'm going to take it off you in a minute. Now, the second piece of clothing is this. This was sort of the undergarment. It was a lighter piece of material. Again, simply one piece. And this was what you wore when you were out working. Okay, there's the famous story of the Apostle Peter when he goes, after Jesus' death, he goes back to fishing, and he ties this up. So you could tie it like a pair of shorts underneath you, and you could work all day. And so this was the inner garment. And I'm going to go ahead. Thank you very much. All right, thanks. And this is the outer garment. That's it. And unless you were the Bill Gates of Bible times, this is it. Two garments. That's all you owned. Okay. Now I'm going to ask my assistants, come on up, James and Kevin, and we're going to talk about money. Okay, James, why don't you go over there? Kevin, I'm going to give you the money. All right. So, all right. Now, money in the time of Jesus was coins. Shake them. Thank you. Okay. It was all coins, no paper money. A lot of transactions were done barter. You would trade a sheep maybe for wheat or wheat for something else. But the money existed. You had coinage from almost some of the most ancient times you had coinage. But the problem was most people had no money. Most people, if you had one coin or two coins, you would be considered to be relatively wealthy. Most people were basically poor. You had, whether it was your flocks or herds, or you had maybe wheat, you had fields. But there were lots of people who had none of those things. They were essentially day laborers. Okay? So let's assume for a minute that you haven't been hired in a while as a day laborer. Okay? And your family is hungry. You need money. So what do? You borrow. But to borrow, you need collateral. Now, what collateral means is that if someone loans you money, you have to give them something that's valuable. Okay? You don't want to sell it because, remember, you have almost nothing. And so you use it as collateral. Now, so what did most people use as collateral? Their cloak. Because remember, most people only had one of these. These were extremely valuable. And so what they would do is they would go to a moneylender or someone, a relative, a friend who may have some money, and they'd say, listen, I need to borrow from you, and I will let you hold my cloak, and you get the money, and then you go and you pay someone, and you get food for your family. Or maybe what you needed was grain for your fields that you didn't have enough left over from the last year, and so you'd buy grain to plant. Okay, now, what was supposed to happen, if we listen to the Deuteronomy passage, is that at night, I'm supposed to get this back. Because remember, this is my blanket, this is my bedroll, this is my cloak, this is what keeps me warm, this is what keeps me out of the rain. Then in the morning, I would go and I would give it back. Now, the problem, though, I'm going to borrow this back, James. Hold on to that again. No, hold on. Is suddenly I'm not able to pay it back. And I need a little bit more money. I don't have any crops to give. So what am I going to give as collateral? And suddenly I am naked. Because I've had to give that back over to James. And so to be naked meant that one was poverty stricken. One was in debt. And what that meant was you were humiliated. Everyone knew you were poor. Everyone knew that you didn't have anything. It was stealing your humanity. People would ridicule you. Now, the other thing is that Kevin is supposed to give these things back to me, but guess what? Do you think it always worked that way? No. People would say, listen, you're never going to be able to pay me back, so I'm just going to walk with these things. And so you would have to work naked. You would have to live naked. You would have to get burned by the sun. And we know that this is so. And just hang in there. Get him back to me. I want to read to you a passage out of the book of Job. Now, the book of Job is Job struggling with what seems to be unfairness in life, and Job wrestles with God about this. And in this piece of chapter 24, he's talking about what it's like to be poor. And I just want you to listen to this as we walk through this. The wicked remove landmarks. They seize people's flocks. See, rather than using the clothes, you would trade your flocks and they would take them. They drive the donkey away from the orphan. They take a widow's ox in pledge, which is against the Torah as well. They push the needy off of the road. The poor hide themselves like wild donkeys in the desert. They scavenge the wasteland for food for their children. They're forced to reap a field that's not their own because it's been taken from them. They glean in the vineyard of the wicked because that's been taken from them. And here's the point. They lie all night naked without clothing. They have no covering in the cold. They're wet with the rain of the mountains and cling to the rocks for shelter because they have nothing to cover them. There are those who snatch the orphan child from their mother and take as pledge the infant of the poor. And these people go about naked without clothing. This is not out of the ordinary. This is the stuff of life. And for those who are naked in the time of Christ, when Jesus is talking about this, they've been humiliated. And so what does Jesus tell us we're supposed to do? That when you see someone who is naked, you clothe them. You do whatever you can to find them clothing, because in giving them clothing, it gives them back their dignity. It gives them back their respect. It welcomes them back into society. Now, I realize, thank you, gentlemen, for your excellent work. You all can be seated. Now, I realize that for those of us living in the 21st century, chances are we don't see many naked people running around Metro Detroit. But what do we see? How many of you have ever seen someone whose clothing is obviously ragged and dirty and shaggy? What's your first thought about those people? They're homeless. What else? They have no money. Right, they have no water to take a shower or a bath. We look down on these people. Maybe we feel sorry for them, but there's this immediate assumption that if they're dressed this way, and can you imagine what it would be like to try and finally have a chance for a job and you're dressed that way? And you think someone's going to talk to you? Someone's going to take you seriously? So for us, it's not necessarily clothing the naked. It is helping those whose clothes are not what they ought to be. Especially in winter, right? Think about winter. And all you have is a thin shirt and a light jacket and you're outside. Wouldn't be fun. Well, I'm going to invite Tom Thorson up because he's going to talk about a program that he and many other people in this church have been involved in that helps to do something about that. And if you guys, you can go back and sit with your folks if you would like. Tom, come on up. I'm going to put this over here. Yeah, it's on. So Tom, tell us about the program. The open door, and you have to hold the mic real close for people to hear.
Well, I may be the least qualified to speak on the subject. We have many, many people, as John said, at this church who have volunteered time and talent to assist those that we were talking about here this morning in this sermon, the homeless, the folks without much money. That describes the guests of the Open Door program. It's located down in Detroit, right in the heart of Detroit, in the Fort Street Presbyterian Church, where that program was started over 50 years ago. The church has but 140 members. The demographics, as you know, have changed dramatically through the years in Detroit. They must rely heavily on the business community, individuals, and churches to run that program. They have been running it for 50 plus years, thanks to the generosity of people like you who have donated time, talent, resources, gently used clothing. The typical week at the Open Door, on Tuesdays, they have what they call the career closet. At the career closet, they offer clothing which might be appropriate for a job interview or perhaps for employment. On Wednesday, they have small group meetings. At the small group meeting, it is always begun with prayer. They have fellowship, companionship. They share. They network together. There's a little counseling that goes on once in a while, and certainly some referrals to social services. Thursday is the big day. As I mentioned, or if I didn't mention, they serve 1,000 guests each month. There's a lot of room at that church and a lot of heart. They start the day off with a hot meal, nourishing meal, which is done by scratch in the kitchen there. Again, think of this now, volunteers. There's one executive director paid full-time. I should say paid part-time for full-time work. There are shower facilities there. There's the opportunity to meet with other agencies that are invited in. It's an opportunity for them to provide things like ID cards so that if they're parents, they can see their children in the school, because you have to have a picture ID, and most of these folks do not have licenses. In order to pick up a prescription drug, they need this municipal ID. A new initiative that's been taken on this year by Open Door in partnership with, some of you may have heard of, the Greening of Detroit. They planted 1,000 trees around Detroit. Together, they're trying to improve the eating habits of the low-income population downtown. You can imagine, there's a lot of starches. What they do is they're teaching them to plant, nurture, and harvest fresh vegetables and herbs. And then in the kitchens, they're conducting healthy cooking lessons. Each one of these sessions costs about $180, and to support that, it takes donations.
So tell us about, do you have a story about someone who has been changed by Fort Street Open Door?
Yeah. Open Door provides a beacon of hope. That's perhaps one of its greatest gifts. David started coming to the Open Door 8 months ago, homeless, without a job. Today, thanks to intervention at the open door, they've got him assigned a caseworker. They got him a part-time job, helped him fill out his application and get accepted, Section 8 housing. He's in his own apartment today. He's getting his life squared away, working part-time at the Lafayette Greens Garden. Catherine. Catherine was addicted to crack cocaine, homeless on the streets. She frequented the open door, was put in touch with professionals. She received some help. She had a lot of courage, a lot of grit, as a lot of Detroiters do. And today she's sober. She's a student at the Wayne County Community College.
So, what could folks here do to help? Could they donate clothes, time, money? What would help?
All of the above. If you'd like to volunteer, they do have a website. You could go on that. You could talk to me. You could talk to several members in this congregation. I just want to mention a few. I was introduced to the Fort Street Open Door program many years ago by Tom Kirchhoffer and Ross Stuntz, who worked in the clothing department. Ken Tompkins, he works and volunteers sometimes in the clothing department, and you might find me there once in a while. Virginia Mottershaw is there every Tuesday and every Thursday helping out. Oh, they're just, I'm forgetting to mention many, but this has been a generous, generous congregation. Hopefully it'll continue to be so. They need gently used clothing. Right now, women, don't take offense, but they need more men's clothing and shoes and belts. So if you have these items, they could be greatly appreciated, and I'll thank you for all of the folks, the guests at the Open Door program.
Thanks, Tom. Let's pray. Gracious God, we give you thanks that we have been given so very much. Help us to be ever mindful of our fortune, our blessing, and help us to bless others by offering up, whether it's through Fort Street or Welcome In or the Well Project in Kenya, whatever it is. Help us to be your hands, your arms, your feet, your love to those around us. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.